happy to have a hold on behalf of the Board of Regents. I certainly will apologize for the delay that's been caused here this morning. And since we came here to listen and learn, why, I'll turn it right over to the man that is supposed to run that part of the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Members of the board and colleagues, indeed a pleasure to have you with us, and certainly on behalf of the entire faculty, we express our appreciation to you for taking the time to hear about our program. We hope the information that will be given to you will be very helpful in your future planning. You might say now, again by way of introduction, that the purpose of the program is to present to you, the board members, the present activities of the academic units of the university, and also to present a look forward into the future for educational objectives that must exist. And this certainly is in an atmosphere of increasing populations, increasing standards of living, sophisticated technology and resource development, and an ever-increasing desire by people for more education and freedom of thought and action. The latter, I certainly hope that we could include responsibility also. Curricular change to meet the future must be considered, as well as techniques of instruction. In addition to these more general factors, the problems of educating our Alaskan men and women from various homes, various backgrounds, is paramount and must be weighed in a realistic manner. With this, of course, in our future programs, we realize that we must have flexibility and creativity. Now, the University of Alaska is, well know, is the only public educational institution in the state responsible for higher education. As such, the functions cover threefold classification: academic instruction, research, and statewide services. The program at this meeting is concerned primarily with academic instruction. Similar programs are anticipated in the future for research and for statewide service activities. Again, it is our hope that the presentation will be of major assistance to board members by giving information that will be valuable in your policy-making decisions, especially in the future, after having had the opportunity of hearing all three sessions. As an example, I am sure that in the back of our minds, one form or another, each of us has had the question: to serve the best interests of Alaskans and the people of the world, what is the position of the University of Alaska in Alaska? From this question, of course, many questions are brought forth. As an example, what relative effort should be made by the university in instruction, in research, and in statewide services? What contribution will each of these make to the people of the state? What should be the relationship between research and teaching, and how does each influence the other? From this, within the academic, the question arises: what type and relative effort should be made in determining and establishing programs of instruction? How do academic programs coordinate with each other to prevent duplication or effort? It seems that consideration along these lines will be most helpful, in fact, practically a necessity in the future. Because from this, we get into the real problems of construction of facilities, staffing of the university, developing our new programs, and of course, in the final analysis, all goes to the budget. Now, You have before you an agenda, and this pretty well spells out exactly what will happen throughout the day and this evening and tomorrow. My pleasure at this time to introduce to you the Dean of the College of Arts and Letters for the first part of the program, Dean Kine. And Chuck, you take over at this point, and you realize now that we always can apply different definitions to the unit known as the minute.
Members of the Board of Regents, guests, and colleagues, I'd like first to introduce the department heads of the College of Arts and Letters. To my right, Dr. Bruce Gordon, head of the Department of Linguistics and Foreign Languages. Next, Professor Helen Van Flying, head of the Department of Art. And behind me for the moment, Dr. James R. Wilson, the head of the Department of English, Professor Jimmy Bedford, head of the Department of Journalism, Professor Charles Davis, head of the Department of Music, Professor Rudolph Krejci, head of the Department of Philosophy, and Professor Lee Salisbury, head of the Department of Speech, Drama, and Radio. Today, Professor Salisbury, who is Professor of Speech and Theater Arts, will give the presentation for the College of Arts and Letters. Professor Salisbury.
Thank you, Dean Kine. Here's how the Associated Students of the University of Alaska define the College of Arts and Letters in their 1967 yearbook, the Denali. What is the College of Arts and Letters? They sometimes call it liberal arts. Liberal, perhaps in that it gives the man an opportunity to expand his intellect, his deep, hungry, searching self, his soul, if you will. He asks questions, as in philosophy. He transports himself on the notes of music he makes. He performs before footlights and projects himself to the world. He communicates in strange sounds and symbols, thereby making the unfamiliar familiar. He takes crude material and fashions out of it a thing of beauty. In short, he breathes his spirit into the world and makes it more exciting. What is the organization of this college, the University of Alaska, that breathes its spirit into the world and makes it more exciting? There are seven departments: art, English, journalism, linguistics and foreign languages, music, philosophy, and speech, drama, and radio. As we look into the future and view our opportunities and responsibilities as the only public institution responsible for higher education in the state, we face the inescapable fact that within the next few years, the college must become more deeply involved in graduate work within the resources available and expand the undergraduate programs as the state demands them. And hopefully, as academicians, we properly will anticipate the state's needs, one of which, beyond a doubt, is that increasingly we carry our education off the hill. But let's take a closer look at the College of Arts and Letters, a look into the present, and then the promising and challenging future. The members of the Department of Art expect a 1969 spring enrollment of 500 or more students. In 1963, the Department of Art had a total of 3 faculty. In 1968 and 69, the Department of Art still has only 3 faculty. As teaching loads increased and a degree program was established, additional faculty had been requested, especially since professional standards would require 1 faculty per 50 students, ideally, and 1 faculty per 80 students under more strenuous conditions. Many Alaskans are requesting graduate study, but it will be impossible to continue the undergraduate program on the present high level of instruction unless the department receives an additional instructor in the areas of drawing and painting, and another in art education, student teaching in related fields, which includes pottery. The program must be enlarged in the areas of art history with specializations in American art and contemporary art. These are the areas the Alaskans are requesting, and we must supply. The new fine arts complex will enable the department to conduct classes more safely. The faculty will function more productively. The department estimates that enrollment will not level off within the next 5 years, and that art will continue drawing approximately 1/4 of the university enrollment. Young people in increasing numbers begin to flock toward the humanities, and especially to art, recognizing that aesthetic values and the enrichment opportunities toward the construction of an indigenous culture, an environment in which they can create, have rewards which material compensation cannot offer. Where will this trend stop? It's difficult to project, but it certainly will continue for the next 5 years. Silverwork, acrylic painting, stone sculpture, welded steel sculpture, and another welded steel sculpture, ink drawing on wood, cast bronze, ink drawing, ink drawing, an art exhibit, marble sculpture, wrought steel candelabra, a silver necklace, silver ladle, a chalice and a plate in silver. Agreeing with the statement of W. Ross Winterowd that the function of the English department should be eclectic, that it should be the ecumenical center for a fragmented campus, the English faculty demonstrate their belief by being the single unit on the campus which sees all the students in its basic course in composition. In that course, as in all others, the department recognizes two immediate objectives. One, the development of skills of good reading, straight thinking, adequate expression, and good form in the communication of the English language. And two, the development of skills and attitudes that make possible an understanding, analysis, and judgment of great literature by recognition of its aesthetic, historical, social, and philosophical values. Ultimately, however, the department endorses Nathan M. Pusey's statement of what a liberal education should do. First, it must help each student to find himself as an individual. Then it must help him to lose himself in interests, causes, and ideas larger and more enduring than he. In pursuing these aims, the department offers 4 degrees, BA, MA, MFA, and MAT in English. Primarily, these degrees help provide teachers for the schools of Alaska. Since English is an eclectic field, however, the department also shares in the production of newspaper men, magazine writers, teachers in other disciplines, lawyers, and that underrated commodity, the educated housewife, and in general, the educated men and women of today. This year, the staff includes 13 full-time teachers, 2 part-time teachers, and 12 graduate assistants. Majors number 61 undergraduate and 24 graduate students. 5 years ago, the staff numbered 10 for only 21 undergraduate and 5 graduate students. By 1973 and 74, the staff will probably have grown to at least 18 full-time teachers with 18 graduate assistants. No new degree programs are envisioned. The department hopes to lead the way toward correlating the 12th and 13th years of the Alaskan's education by developing programs of instruction for both adults and disadvantaged youths, by conducting meaningful institutes, such as the NDEA Institute in English, held in the summer of 1967, or summer workshops, such as the projected one for Alaskan writers, a cooperative venture with Alaska Methodist University to be inaugurated in 1969, and by continuing to lead the English teachers of the state through the Alaska English Council. The English department should be, if not the center, at least at the center of any future program in public education, seeking to make use of present technical equipment, whether or not it is yet available on campus. Films, television, radio, or whatever may come are of vital interest to the department. It wishes to build for the future, certain that it can do so since it holds with Jack Barzun that education, quote, is a lifelong discipline of the individual by himself, encouraged by a reasonable opportunity to lead a good life. The accompanying slides, number 1 and 2, represent research materials available to students at the University of Alaska in search of Alaskana. Slide number 3 represents the student. Slide number 4, the creator. Slide number 1, this is John Haynes, Winter News. Haynes, of mile 68 on the Richardson Highway, is a nationally known, highly respected poet, published by the Wesleyan University Press, and winner of both the Guggenheim Fellowship in 65-66, and a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts in 67-68. The English department would like to see him appointed as a distinguished associate in poetry. Dr. Minnie Wells and Dr. James Wilson, professor and head of the English department, examined manuscripts, journals, and other materials recently presented to the University of Alaska Library by John Haynes and his wife. John Sell, senior major in English, alone with his books. The English major's task is ultimately and mostly a lonely, individual, and satisfying encounter with the tools of his trade. Colleen Palmquist, graduate major in English, with manuscripts. Even a master of fine arts thesis, the sort her manuscripts will eventually be shaped into. Journalism is the most liberal of the liberal arts, tying the arts and letters together with other fields of endeavor, science, mathematics, engineering, and social sciences, to interpret them and to relate them to one another so that the ordinary man can understand it all. The journalist is a generalist. While others strive to learn more and more about a specific thing, the journalist tries to learn a little about everything. Alaska offers quite a challenge and a responsibility. With a natural curiosity and a highly honed mind, he questions, probes, and elicits information from government, from industry, from the scientist, from the artisan, and from the common man. He provides the basic information for sociologists, the political scientists, teachers, and economists as they seek to change, to govern, to teach, and to analyze. Alaskan journalists must explain Alaska to the world today as well as in the future, and by means of the very latest techniques in this rapidly expanding field of communication. Wherever possible, courses here are designed and will continue to be designed to provide a student with practical applications working closely with Alaska's newspapers. Through the Reader's Digest Fund, travel funds are made regularly to students to cover news and feature assignments around the state. Today's and tomorrow's journalist must be able to produce pictures as well as words, and the journalism department requires one course of basic photography for every major or minor in journalism. Results of this basic photography course can be seen out in the lobby. Some of the slides you've been viewing are the work of advanced students. The journalism department increasingly must work with cinematography as another form of communication, with news, with documentary motion pictures. The demand for this seems limitless, particularly with the advent of the new educational television system. The journalism department serves another function besides training journalists. Increasingly, it's providing basic courses in writing and photography for students majoring in many other fields. Recently, at the spring semester of 1965, there were fewer than 20 student enrollments in all journalism courses combined. Today, we have about 7 times that many. In photography alone, the number grew from 4 students to 64 students in 3 years. As we look into the future, we readily concede that numbers alone are not enough. We must have quality education. That's why we brought in a distinguished Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist this year as a Carnegie Visiting Professor of Journalism. Professor Ira Harkey is setting a high standard for the department, and the rest of the faculty has an ample challenge to continue with this quantity of quality in the years ahead. Shaping the program of studies in foreign languages, the departmental faculty have borne in mind the dual educational role of this university. First, to assume its proper responsibility for achieving the national goals of American higher education, and second, to meet the special needs of Alaskans. Studies in the commonly taught European languages and literature, such as French, German, and Spanish, are designed to meet the first need, whereas programs in Russian, Japanese, and Eskimo are related more directly to Alaska's present and future needs to deal with peoples of the Pacific Rim and to preserve the rich linguistic and cultural heritage of its native people. conscious of its responsibility to furnish professional leadership throughout the state in increasing the effectiveness of foreign language teaching at all levels, and in providing assistance to all foreign language teachers, several projects have been successfully completed either recently by the faculty as a whole or by individual members. These include coordinating foreign language instruction with local high school teachers, holding the first Alaska Conference on Foreign Languages on campus, establishing the Alaska Foreign Language Association, holding three federally supported NDEA foreign language institutes for 125 teachers, preparing curriculum guidelines in foreign languages for the State Department of Education. Such stimulation to growth must continue. Linguistic research currently in progress on Native Alaskan languages includes a six-year project funded by the National Science Foundation, now being completed on the EAC language of the Cordova area. Work is progressing also on the establishment of a standard orthography that will be applicable to all Yupik Eskimo dialects, and on the development of curricular grammatical materials and the beginnings of a written Eskimo literature. A few slides will give a brief example of what goes on in the classroom here. A class in the language laboratory where students practice using native voices on tape as models. The language is Russian, although it could be French, German, Spanish, or Japanese. The instructor can correct the individuals without interrupting the others. The student selects the exercise he wishes by dialing the proper number on the telephone dial. He may practice it as long as he wishes, record his own responses, or call on the instructor for assistance. He does his oral homework in the laboratory, afternoons or evenings, just as he does his reading or written work in his dormitory room.
Говорят о той самой книге, которую я не хочу читать.
Которую вы видите там.
Которой я не хочу читать.
Гайдете по той самой книге, которую вы видите там.
A third-year French class discussing Voltaire's satire of French institutions.
Comment Voltaire se moque-t-il de la vanité et de la présomption de l'homme?
Je crois que Voltaire critique surtout l'orgueil de l'homme. Il dit, à part quelques exemples, que l'homme pense qu'il est bon, qu'il est plus grand qu'il est. Les idées sont pas plus importantes. Peut-être l'homme dit que ce qu'il ne voit pas, ce qu'il n'entend pas, n'existe pas, mais c'est pas vrai.
Est-ce que vous êtes d'accord avec
l'homme? Oui. Et enfin, on peut dire que l'homme croit qu'il est supérieur à tout autre.
There are two advanced Spanish students consulting the professor on a novel by Azorín.
No, tu me dio, de acuerdo.
Sí, pero esas son las ideas que se encuentran con más frecuencia en las diferentes creencias y en las diferentes filosofías también. ¿No? Si usted toma una...
No, hoy día, en el pasado.
En el pasado.
En el momento.
Todo está en el pasado. ¿No?
Sí.
Ve a Dios cristiano, por ejemplo. Exactamente.
In this class in Japanese, students are learning a few of the hiragana characters under a native Japanese professor.
Senshu no doyobi kara watashi wa byoki desu.
Doyobi.
Doyobi
desu. Doyobi kara.
Watashi wa byoki desu.
Do you read that sentence?
Senshu no doyobi.
In this Eskimo class, students study the structure of Yupik Eskimo and learn to write it. Participating native students also help the others to speak it.
Joe, would you like to pronounce the word beaver for us?
Paluktak.
And the word for dog?
Pimuktak.
Pimuktak. The sentence that you wrote on the board, would you care to read that for us in your paper, please?
Yes, I read.
Okay, Carl, would you care to translate that for us? Okay, that's a good pronunciation. Would you care to translate it for us into English?
The young man asked the servant.
Very good.
Very good.
Plans for the next 10 years include continuous efforts to improve the effectiveness of foreign language instruction by specifically the following. Number one, devise means of coordinating instruction throughout Alaska. Two, expand graduate programs to meet the growing need for persons with multi-language proficiency and to train teachers for the state. Three, exert strong leadership to establish the university as an international center for linguistic research and language training in the languages primarily spoken in the Arctic regions and the Northern Pacific Rim. These include Russian, Japanese, and the Scandinavian languages, as well as Eskimo and Athabaskan. Four, to develop and implement an Alaskan native language program that would give impetus and direction to educational policy towards Alaska Native peoples, reinforcing and perpetuating their languages and cultures. This will foster the use of the languages together with English in village schools and in local mass media such as newspaper, radio, and TV. Bilingualism is and should constitute, with proper application, not a handicap, but a valuable asset to the individual and to the state. The Department of Music presents curricula designed to satisfy two primary objectives. First, it endeavors culturally to meet the needs of all students of the university by teaching musical skills, knowledge, appreciations, and attitudes that, in combination with the other arts and humanities, contribute to an enriched life. Second, it has designed programs for the professional training of future public school music teachers and musicians, in which necessary specialization in the fields of music and education is provided for in curricula leading to either the Bachelor of Arts or the Bachelor of Music degrees. Music courses currently include approximately 450 student enrollments with 700 student credit hours and 40 music majors. The department must supply sufficient graduates for teachers in the public schools of Alaska. The highly acclaimed band, orchestra, choir, madrigal singers, and faculty recitals must reach more of the communities of this vast state. In the music organizations, the Alaska Native finds an important outlet for his musical talents. He finds it possible to learn much of the Western musical heritage. The department believes that perhaps the most critical concern is the inadequacy of the present programs to meet the needs in each of several areas. For the student with special interests in composition, the present program in theory is adequate only for the needs of the public school music teacher. The general program in music history must train and develop research in the rich musical heritage of the ethnic cultures of the Alaska Native. The demand for instruction in the areas of church music and organ are impossible to meet with the current staff. The department must have more staff for graduate instruction to meet the numerous requests of music teachers in Alaska. In the training of music instructors for special education, there is no opportunity to fill a critical need in Alaska. In the areas of instructional radio broadcasting and television and videotaping, the opportunity for teaching music to remote schools and communities must be recognized and programs developed. The need for an Associate of Arts degree program with specialization in such practical areas as instrument repair, popular music, piano pedagogy must be met. In the area of the music of the future, electronic music, instruction must be provided to prepare students to obtain a proper perspective of this new development. The new fine arts complex will alleviate many of the physical limitations of inadequacy of rehearsal, teaching, storage, and concert space. The most serious need will be for adequate faculty to meet the current and developing needs of the future. It is impossible for an overworked, frequently distraught faculty to continue to be as creative and imaginative as the University of Alaska deserves. In the conviction that Alaska and the university will continue to develop a growing department of music of high quality, it is planned to submit application for membership to the National Association of Schools of Music, the national accrediting organization for music programs in colleges and universities. Both for today and in the future, the purpose of the discipline of philosophy at the university is basically threefold. Number one, to confront the student with the fundamental problems of the Western philosophical heritage, and to introduce him into an independent reflection on them, thus broadening his perspectives for the various areas of specialization in science, the social sciences, and the humanities. Number two, to introduce the student into the changing world of ideas represented by the most constructive and critical minds of our time, with an emphasis on the unification and integration of our knowledge. Three, with this theoretical background, to introduce the student into the philosophy of action, which springs out of the rational considerations of alternatives, whose adequacy can be evaluated only in terms of its relevancy to the totality of data available at a certain time. This safeguards the modifiability of the framework in the future. To justify philosophy is to justify man, his existence, and his striving for understanding. Philosophy must educate men with intellectual horizons, transcending the narrowness of any specialty. Our compartmentalized knowledge today is valuable only insofar as it really contributes something to a synthesis which attempts to answer man's supreme questions: where to, where from. Historically, philosophy has dealt with these human, all too human, questions. We see no real change in this role tomorrow. We only foresee more human questions as human beings around the world intensify their relationships one with the other. The program of the Department of Philosophy is to incorporate all emerging needs in terms of which necessary adjustments in curriculum can be made. As we look into the future, we believe that smaller classes would be desirable in order to enable us to pay more attention to each individual student. No great changes can be realistically expected in the field of philosophy in the second half of the 20th century. And here we are looking ahead 32 instead of 10 years. If there is an innovation, it is only an emphasis on the ethical and practical aspects of a philosophy which represents an adjustment to the contemporary world scene. Few areas of our lives concern us more than our ability to communicate with our fellow man. As our world shrinks around us, coming to resemble what Marshall McLuhan has termed the global village, our survival as individuals and as a nation depends upon our capacity to send and receive messages via the spoken word. Today's citizen of the world must communicate not only with those who share his cultural background and values, but with others who live outside his national and ethnic frameworks. For every teacher of communication, whether he be working with students in Lagos, Nigeria, or College Alaska, if he is to meet this new challenge, he must concern himself with both intra-cultural and cross-cultural communication. The Department of Speech, Drama, and Radio combines the several areas which comprise the field of speech communication. Our first area, that of speech public address, is concerned directly with improving the speaking and listening ability the university student. Next year, our Fundamentals of Oral Communication course will be included in the program of all entering freshmen. For students with special speech problems, courses in phonetics, voice and diction are offered. And should the entering freshman speech test indicate a severe handicap, such as stuttering or a hearing loss, private tutoring by our part-time speech pathologist is available. With the completion of the new fine arts complex, a completely equipped small speech pathology clinic will offer a wide range of services to our students and to the surrounding community. Federal funds will underwrite the costs of staffing and equipping this important facility, which will additionally train our students to enter the critically undermanned fields of speech pathology and audiology. Recent studies, incidentally, have shown Alaska to have the highest incidence of hearing loss in the entire United States. For the student who intends to enter business, law, public affairs, or teaching, skills courses in rhetoric, debate, forensics, persuasion, and discussion are offered. A four-year demonstration research project called COPAN has shown that Native students enjoy a higher college success rate when they can receive special pre-college training in communication skills. Two associate-level courses in public speaking are especially designed to meet the cross-cultural communication problems of the Native student, to prepare him for the formal and informal speaking situations he will encounter in his college career. An interdisciplinary master's program in cross-cultural communication is presently underway, involving the departments of linguistics, anthropology, and speech, which will train personnel to enter this new and important deal with communication. Our department encompasses other modes of communication. The media of theater and broadcasting. Here's a picture from The Comered Angel. Here we see our talent grantee this year, Joe Worcester from the University of Hawaii, preparing a special rubber makeup for a Mark Twain characterization that you will see later on this evening. A speech major who specializes in the area of drama can prepare himself to enter the field of professional or educational theater. The twice yearly drama workshop productions, which have taken Canadian International Drama Festival honors 3 times, provide the student actors and technical staff with an invaluable touring experience throughout the state. Here's another shot from Little Mary Sunshine. Focus. Incidentally, this is in the President Scheibel lecture hall, which we think is a feat in itself. Completion of the new Fine Arts Complex Theater facility will afford the drama student a rich range of theater experience in professional surroundings for the first time. The flexibly designed main stage and laboratory theater will accommodate every mode of staging from Elizabethan theater to theater in the Rock. Complete costume and set construction facilities will enable such projects as Theater to the Bush, a plan to bring drama to the rural schools of Alaska, to begin. Several foundations, by the way, have expressed interest in funding this innovative project, which would involve bilingual actors and specially written ethnic material. Additionally, the new theater will provide a fine basis for graduate programs in the several arts, which are blended together in dramatic presentation. The main purpose of the radio area of our department is to train our students in the various aspects of broadcasting. Through work at KUAC, our students gain experience in many of the day-to-day operational techniques of radio and TV. But emphasis is also placed upon a broadly based knowledge of the philosophic, economic, and legal problems inherent in a billion-dollar industry as influential as modern broadcasting. In addition to training students, KUAC has found for itself a unique position in media in Alaska, and particularly in Fairbanks life. As the only education station in the state, broadcasting 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, KUAC's cultural informational programming has popular support in the university, college, Fairbanks community, equal to that of far larger educational stations in the lower 48. Future plans call for equipping an educational public television station and production center in the fine arts facility, which will give the students direct experience in TV, as well as to serve the educational and cultural needs of the university and the larger community. What is the College of Arts and Letters? They sometimes call it liberal arts. Liberal, perhaps, in that it gives a man an opportunity to expand his intellect, his deep and hungry searching self, his soul, if you will. He asks questions, as in philosophy. He transports himself on the notes of the music. He performs before the footlights and projects to the world. He communicates in strange sounds and symbols, thereby making the unfamiliar familiar. He takes crude material and fashions out of it a thing of beauty. In short, he breathes his spirit into the world and makes it more exciting.
Thank you very much, Professor Salisbury. I would also like to thank the department heads who, during a Christmas vacation and the preparation for the final examination period, which is in process right now, for spending those extra hours that they were able to squeeze out of the evenings and early mornings in the preparation of this presentation. There probably will be questions. We have budgeted our time in the time allotted to us to attempt to answer the questions to the basic question, what is the College of Arts and Letters and what are its responsibilities now and in the future? Do we have any questions? Mr. Chairman, we're pleased that we've answered all the questions.
Thank you, Chuck, for a very excellent presentation. Certainly thank the department heads. Before you leave, however, let me just ask the members of the board if there are any points of further clarification that you might want or anything in depth. This is an opportunity, I think, to ask.
Will this material be compiled?
Yes, in some cases it has. Chuck, in yours?
Vice President Neal, we are planning to mimeograph the material presented here today and make it available not only to the people within the university family who might want it, but since so much presentation time has gone into this presentation, we feel that we can, within the limits of our budget, make it available to other people who ask about enrollment in the College of Arts and Letters and the university and the programs we are presently offering and we will be offering in the future.
Well, that'll be fine because I think that was an excellent presentation of the whole department in such a short time. I know that it's very limited and it'd be interesting to do something.
Sir, I have a question here.
Where
are you planning to tape all of these presentations today?
Yes, sir, being taped.
They are being taped
yes.
Now. I should think this particular event for a replay over the radio for the station around the station.
Professor Salisbury anticipated that in the movies.
Probably.
Thanks.
Mr. McFarland, you had a question?
Well, it was the same. I think I'd like to have the legislature, so those that will take time read this material with the following presentations are literacy personal.
Well, I think it's just an excellent job because when you start into these things, the first thing is, we've got an hour for the college and each department will think, well, gee, I need a whole half day with the board just for my department. This has all been certainly welded into, a very excellent presentation. But there are no other questions. This time, then, again, Chuck, we certainly thank you.
Thank you very much. And I would like to have your examination, which I've given mine. I think I'll stick with it.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to make two introductions. First, President Wood. President Wood, we certainly acknowledge your efforts in spearheading and making sure that we had a program today. And now also, it's with a great deal of very sincere pleasure that I present to you Dr. Donald Theophilus, the Academic Vice President. Don, stand. We might say that Don's introduction to Alaska, at least recently, has been done in a true Alaskan fashion with a bang. First weather-wise, and now, of course, with this great mass of material that will be presented in the next 2 days. Great deal to do. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you Dean Wolf, who is Dean of the College of Behavioral Sciences and Education.
Moments to make some rearrangements here at the board. I would
excuse the table. All right.
I'm going to get you.
A lot of you ride on it. Like waiting.
Members of the Board of Regents and colleagues. The College of Behavioral Sciences and Education is composed of six departments: anthropology, education, health, physical education and recreation, home economics, military science, psychology, sociology. The various degrees offered by the college may be seen on the screen. Brief statements of purpose and statistical information is included in the handout we have given you, anticipating some of you would want this information. In multimedia presentation, which has been coordinated by Mr. Frank Darnell, head of the Department of Education, will be followed by a presentation by the five representatives here from the college, a slide giving the names of the individuals and their order of seating here will be shown during their presentation, and then their presentation will conclude with a question-answer period. We do have one substitution. Dr. Gunther is substituting for Dr. Lawrence, who was to make the presentation, but he is ill.
In preparing some sort of an idea to show you the activities of the college, we came upon the thought that rather than go through a rather elaborate formal statement orally, that a printed presentation such as you have explaining the statistics and the programs of the college would enable you to look at this at your leisure, and instead and we would approach our presentation by giving an example of some of the activities in the college so that there would be a little bit of the flavor of the everyday activity of the campus. With this idea in mind, then, we first of all will present a few slides which Dr. Gunther will explain, describing some of the activities in the Department of Anthropology, followed by a videotape that we've prepared in the last 4 or 5 days of activities on the campus, including the minus 50 degree temperature shows up occasionally when a building comes into view, and followed by a few overhead projections of some special activities in the Department of Education. The videotape will cover 3 of the 5 departments. Now, Dr. Gunther, however, will start the presentation with an explanation of some of her work in anthropology. Dr. Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Darnell. Anthropology is rather difficult to show by means of a tape or anything of that sort. We have a few pictures on archaeology, which is a very important part of anthropology at the University of Alaska for the state of Alaska. You probably realize that we are the gateway to Aboriginal America, and the material which we find is extremely important, not only for ourselves, but also for archaeology the country over. Up to the present, we have had more people coming from all parts of America to work in Alaska. And it is time for us to do a lot of this work ourselves, to keep our archaeological material here in the state and not let it be dissipated so that you have to go to Ohio State or to Middletown, Connecticut, or to Albuquerque, New Mexico in order to see the material which has been excavated and has been written on in Alaska. I'd like to show you some slides of one of the most important sites in the state, and that is right here on our own campus. We are among the only universities that would have a place where we can train our people right on the campus under supervision and at the same time find material which is historically extremely important. Our campus site has now been dated at 10,000 BC, which is among the oldest dates that we have for American Indian material. And if you can have the slides now, I'd like to show you a spot which you may never have seen from this angle. This is now covered with asphalt, but while that is a tragedy in some ways, in other ways, it is being preserved. And nobody else can get at it, and there can be no vandalism. So we are very safe in this way. This is the campus site with the kind of marks that we make on it. There's the trowel which is used for archaeology, and it shows you the nice straight wall that we teach students to dig. Next one, please. This is the site with the of plastic that we put over it in order to preserve it from the rain. And of course, as you realize, our digging season is very short. We can only work in the summer, so that we cannot go at this work as fast as we would like to. Next one, please. This is a student screening the material. We look for very small things Today we look for seeds of plants, we look for all kinds of material to give some clue as to how these people live. And it is amazing what one can extract from the material that is taken out of the site. Next one, please.
I believe that was
that was the only one we had. Yeah. Those three show you where we are working on the campus, showing how very important our working on geology is.
The next aspect of depicting some of the activities on the campus, we will turn to the video recorder. And this has been as much an experiment on our part as any, and so you in turn are the guinea pigs, I believe, since we have only acquired the equipment for portable television within the last few months. The tape that we're about to present is 10 or 12 minutes, taken with a recorder about the size of a normal audio tape recorder and straps over a shoulder on a power pack. Since you're accustomed now to quality of pictures coming from the moon, the next quality down the line are pictures out of this little power pack. But still, the idea isn't big television production as much as it is to get into someplace with an idea, get back to a class where it can be discussed with students. Following this short tape on the very small machine, we have a tape segment made in the village of Ustoyahak with one of our graduate students practicing some of the techniques that have been developed in the Department of Education for the teaching of English as a second language to the Eskimo children there. The student that you'll see is one that has been an undergraduate student with us and was at the time of the tape just recently working on a master's program. But first, a brief one of the campus. Sony, would you get a couple of the lights back there?
Sciences and Education have prepared the following segments of videotape during the last few days as a brief presentation for this seminar. The tape is far from an inclusive statement of college activities, but it is a sample of a few of the daily programs on campus and is also intended to serve as an example of the use of new television devices available for instructional purposes. Increased use of media of this type is anticipated for many future college academic activities.
Fifty below and the machine still works.
The following section of videotape depicts only a small portion of the Department of Psychology and Sociology's wide range of student-faculty involvement in pursuit of scientific inquiry and in providing community leadership, consultation, and training. The overall function of the Department of Psychology and Sociology is geared to helping the student achieve a better understanding of himself and his relationships to the community and providing him with a general academic background and pre-professional training. The department has somewhat naturally assumed an important position in bridging the gap between the university and the community. For example, faculty are involved in consultative and research services for the Alaska Judicial Council, the Mental Health Division, the Native School Curriculum Development Programs, Community Action Committee, Alcoholic Rehabilitation Work, Corrections Division of the State, and various law enforcement agency programs. These, among many other activities. This work includes reports and surveys of existing conditions, projections of future needs, advising committees and private and government officials. Student involvement includes active work placements at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the State Public Welfare Department, the Probation and Parole Departments, and State Jail of the Corrections Division, plus student-initiated pre-professional organizations in psychology and sociology. Our department faculty consists of 7 members, teaching a total enrollment of approximately 1,000 students per semester for a total of 6,000 hours of classroom instruction per year, or a high ratio of 276 students per faculty member. The department has approximately 100 majors, making it one of the larger departments of the University of Alaska.